You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The piece I am looking into covers child sex abuse images. In the interviews I conduct, we do not speak about the content of child sex abuse material, rather the way the laws prohibiting it are enforced and how technology is used to find this sort of material online. However, if a topic like this makes you uncomfortable, I suggest that you tune out and come back to us in 15 minutes or so. Last week, it was reported that tech giant Apple would be releasing technology that would scan their consumers' devices for child sex abuse images. The new feature is so far only set to be rolled out in the US and will scan Apple devices' photos and text storage for images of child sex abuse. However, it will not simply look at all of the photos on the device and flag the ones that are exploitative. Instead, it will use a global database of known child sex abuse images to determine whether a match exists on the device. These databases have digital tags attached to each image to uniquely identify them as child sex abuse images. And as new images are identified by law enforcement, they are also tagged. If an image on a device matches an image on the database, the photos will be shown to an Apple employee, the material will be then forwarded to US law enforcement, and the user's iCloud account will be locked. There have been mixed reactions to the announcement of this technology. Some have raised privacy concerns that the scanning technology could be used wrongfully by totalitarian governments to spy on their citizens, or that the tech could be expanded to scan for other prohibited content or certain types of political speech. However, according to CBS, some have praised Apple for going out of their way to make the technology as privacy-friendly as possible, and some have called it an important step for the fight to eliminate child sex abuse material online. Following the announcement of Apple's new CSAM, which is the acronym for Child Sex Abuse Material Scanning Technology, I wanted to speak to some of New Zealand's experts on CSAM. I wanted to know what the child sex abuse material situation was like in New Zealand and how Apple's technology might impact New Zealand's response to CSAM if it was rolled out here. I also wanted to know whether Apple's technology would breach New Zealand privacy laws and whether people even have the right to privacy when it comes to storing child sex abuse material on their personal devices. I began by speaking to Detective Senior Sergeant and Manager of the Child Exploitation Team for the New Zealand Police, Alex Carter. He outlines what the CSAM situation as understood by police in New Zealand is. We also discuss the penalties for creating and distributing child exploitative content, the borderless nature of child exploitation offending, and what impact Apple's technology could have on the CSAM situation in New Zealand if it was rolled out here. Here is Alex. So to begin with, very broad question, could you explain what the child sex abuse image situation is in New Zealand?
Yeah, like you say, it's a pretty broad question, but so child objectionable material is prevalent in New Zealand, and in New Zealand we have a multi-agency approach that works to prevent and investigate instances of online child exploitation offending, and that includes the imagery, obviously, and there's a few pieces of legislation that govern that, primarily when it relates to imagery, it's the Films, Video, Publications, Classifications Act. It's a bit of a mouthful, but the DIA, Department of Internal Affairs, regulate that. And they, together with New Zealand Police and Customs, work in that space. And so we have dedicated teams at each agency that's responsible for the prevention and investigation of that type of offending.
How is child objectionable material dealt with by law enforcement? What are the penalties in New Zealand for creating or distributing content like that?
There's a few too many to sort of list. There's offences within multiple pieces of legislation. Like I said, the Films, Video, Publications, Classifications Act, that has offences that relate to distribution and possession of objectionable content. And that's not just child exploitation, that's also extremist material, anything that's considered objectionable. But the legislation is also enforceable by other agencies like the police, so we enforce those offences as well. And as well as customs can enforce offences under the FVPCA, but they also have specific pieces of legislation under the Customs and Excise Act that relate to the importation and exportation of objectionable content. So there's a range of things, and of course, and there's all the other offences that are on the crimes that they relate to, you know, contact offending and other sexual offending that you would, you know, expect police to investigate.
This sort of content could have been sourced from anywhere in the world and being distributed in New Zealand. How does the police and law enforcement deal with situations where it's not necessarily domestically sourced, but it might be coming from overseas? So New Zealand doesn't have jurisdiction to deal with anything that's sourced from overseas. Is that sort of the idea?
Well, I mean, the online child exploitation offence type, by the very nature of it, is borderless, global. Offending. So it requires a really global network of law enforcement to prevent and investigate and, most importantly, remove children from at-risk situations. And so in order to achieve that, you have to have a really strong relationship with law enforcement all over the world, and that's exactly what we have. You know, when there's offending that's detected here, they might have a nexus to offending overseas. We have a strong relationship with our counterparts over there. We have coordinated responses into New Zealand Inc. And what I mean by NZ Inc., it's what I referred to before, that we actually have three agencies here that have overlapping but slightly different mandates. And so we also have referral systems or a triage process across the partners to make sure that the work is going to the best place, and we support each other in the workload as well when we need to.
Could you speak to whether Apple's scanning technology that was announced a couple of days ago, whether that would make a difference to the situation in New Zealand with child exploitative material if that technology was introduced here?
It's obviously, I can't speak to Apple's technology or specifically what it is they do, but I guess it's only unique in the sense that you're talking about cloud storage platforms, which is, in my understanding, is what they will be looking at. But I guess you have to understand that this is not new in the prevention of child exploitation online. As an example, the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children in the United States is responsible for receiving all of the referrals from US-based technology or social media providers that detect child exploitation on their platforms, and that's through from all the, I guess, big social media providers you'd expect to a whole range of smaller ones, and they're all required to report this. And then the NCMEC, which is the acronym, they're responsible for collating those referrals and then referring them off overseas. And I imagine that the process will be exactly the same for Apple, who would detect child exploitation. They would generate a referral to this NCMEC, and then that would come through the pipeline to each country that they detect the source. So how it would make an impact in New Zealand is hard to say, because it's something you can't measure, something that wasn't there before versus something that might be or will be. But it's not completely unique, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
That was Detective Senior Sergeant and Manager of the Child Exploitation Team for the New Zealand Police, Alex Carter, speaking on the police understanding of the CSAM situation in New Zealand. Another arm of enforcement against child sex abuse material in New Zealand is the Censorship Office. I spoke to Chief Censor David Shanks about his experience and understanding of the child sex abuse material situation in New Zealand. We also discussed how, as the Censorship Office, you balance the right to freedom of expression and privacy with the rights of vulnerable people, such as children. David explained that the CSAM seen by the Censorship Office is just the tip of the iceberg. The office sees material in every form imaginable, videos shared online, text files, photographs, and even analogue paper material. This is sent through to the Censorship Office via the police, the Customs Service, or the Department of Internal Affairs. I began by asking David to explain what the Censorship Office's understanding of the CSAM situation in Aotearoa and why child sex abuse material requires censorship.
Well, as Chief Censor, I think we, I and my team here at the office have to deal with all kinds of confronting and potentially harmful imagery and content. And I'd have to say that images or clips showing the sexual abuse of children is definitely one of the hardest categories of material we have to deal with. And we deal with that on a routine basis here in the office. and it's incredibly confronting and saddening often. And it is tragic that children are being exploited in this way, there seems to be a continuing trend for using technology in new ways to monetize and distribute this sort of material. And that's a real concern to us, and it's a concern here in this country, and it's a concern globally, as we're seeing indicators of ever more increasing quantities and levels and intensity of distribution of this material. So that's a massive concern. There's no doubt technology is playing a part in those trends, and that is something we think that serious attention needs to be paid to.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Apple scanning technology. How would technology like this make a difference to the child sex abuse material situation in New Zealand if it was to be introduced here? Would it make a difference at all?
I think it would make a difference, and it would make a difference at multiple levels. So I think there is a need for technology companies to think about their duty of care for users and their responsibility for people that may be harmed through the use of their products and services. And I think that's what Apple is thinking about here. Now, what does that mean here in New Zealand? In terms of overall numbers for Apple, again, if you look at the NCMEC reports, Apple represents quite a small number of the reports being sent through, indicating they're already perhaps putting in place moves to reduce the distribution of this sort of material. But I think there's two levels. One is the detection of offenders, people using Apple devices for the abuse of children and for carrying out illegal acts. And it seems clear that what Apple is introducing here will have a meaningful difference, potentially, in detecting offenders who would otherwise not be identified. More important than that, in some respects, is the signalling value of saying this is not acceptable, and if you do this, there is a process in place to detect this kind of abuse and offending. And I suspect that sort of signalling value in terms of people being aware that this is happening, that this sort of offending is not tolerated and can and will be detected, will have a nudge effect or an effect in terms of potentially overall reducing people's willingness to take that risk or to offend in this way.
And now I wanted to talk a little bit about, because obviously there have been a number of criticism or sort of concern about how this sort of technology might breach privacy rights. And I was just wanting to hear what your position was and how censorship in New Zealand deals with balancing the right to free speech or privacy versus the rights of vulnerable people.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's no question that with these new digital and technological innovations, there's a key balancing act that needs to be considered really carefully in this space. Yes, we want to see all feasible and practicable measures put in place to reduce harms to children and reduce the distribution of child sexual exploitation material, but that can't be at the cost of all other rights, values and freedoms. So there's a balancing act. When it comes to privacy, certainly we have in place Privacy Act requirements, expectations on enforcement agencies, and really a whole set of principles on how the system operates to ensure that that balance is maintained and that, that privacy is not traded away unreasonably in the pursuit of prosecutions and investigations. It's interesting, the debate that is going on about this move by Apple, because as far as I can see, it is a suggestion that what is proposed by Apple seems to have safeguards in place and perhaps is defensible, but it's a slippery slope argument. The critiques I've seen are people saying, but this could lead to pressure being put on Apple by, say, totalitarian governments, or, you know, pressure to expand what is clearly framed up here as a very limited exception and approach.
That was Chief Censor David Shanks speaking about the Censorship's Office experiences and understanding of the child sex abuse material situation in New Zealand, and also talking a little bit about that balancing act between the right to freedom of expression and the right to privacy versus the rights of vulnerable people. Going on from this, what was interesting to me was that the core concerns raised about Apple's technology was that it may breach privacy rights. And this was interesting to me because surely most people have come to some sort of acceptance that our data or device user habits are being monitored by private companies like Facebook and Instagram all the time, and even governments. So I wanted to know whether Apple's technology would breach New Zealand's privacy laws, and whether people even have the right to privacy when it comes to storing child sex abuse material on their personal devices. I spoke to Privacy Commissioner John Edwards about some of the privacy concerns raised by this new technology from Apple, and we also had a little bit of a chat about that right to storing child sex abuse material on your phone. I began by asking John to explain what his position was on Apple's new technology.
Sure. Well, I think first it's important to understand how the proposed system works, and it's not scanning, just looking through each of your photos and saying, you know, is this one dodgy? It's actually matching against a set of known child pornographic images or child sexual abuse material images. So there are these databases which are, you know, they have these digital hashes attached to each image to uniquely identify it. And as new images are identified, those are also tagged and included in the data set. So the new Apple system will only detect a certain number of those images on a device. It won't be looking through at other content.
People could be concerned that scanning your phone for images that might be deemed under that sort of umbrella of CSAM, I suppose, with parents, you know, taking photos of their kids in the bathtub or running around in the garden, and potentially there being penalties there, but that's not the case.
That's not the case. No, these are images which have been, you know, which are known to be traded and which involve quite egregious actual sexual abuse.
When people buy products like an iPhone, do they inherently consent to further monitoring from that company? Surely there is an argument for that. This is my phone. I bought it. It's my private property. These are my images that I'm looking at privately.
Yes, certainly. And I think people do have that expectation that there's not, you know, that the provider of the phone or the software is not going to be screening or scanning the content that the user saves on it. And what Apple would say is that the system that they've designed does maintain that privacy to a high degree. It doesn't release any information from your phone. It doesn't look at any information from your phone. It simply identifies whether that device contains images which have also been hashed and tagged as child sexual abuse material.
And I understand that the process, and you know, when this is rolled out in the States, is that if an image pops up that matches one of these known images to law enforcement, it will be reported to law enforcement. How might this sort of technology work under laws in New Zealand if Apple was to expand the technology here? If somebody in New Zealand with an iPhone was found with a known child sex abuse image, what would happen to them? Do you know?
Well, possession of any of the material, I understand, on the database would be in breach of New Zealand law, because it would be unconditionally objectionable. One thing that Apple have said is that there will be an error rate, that's a kind of false match, of about 1 in 1 trillion. So that provides a fairly high degree of certainty that the holder of that device is committing an offence under New Zealand law. But Apple would need to ensure that that was being operated consistently with New Zealand law, and that local authorities were being notified of that.
Now, talking about other sort of privacy issues that have been brought up regarding this that I'd like to touch on, is obviously one, a core one is that technology like this could be expanded, and in the hands of a corrupt business, a corrupt government, it could be used to spy on citizens and spy on their private content rather than content that they're distributing publicly online. Like, obviously people are aware that, you know, you can see what people are posting online publicly, but I suppose the concern lies with what would happen if this was in the wrong hands and private content was being filtered and used.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that most people have an expectation that what is on their device is their own business, and that nobody gets to have a look at it unless there's some, you know, compelling legal ability to do so, and that's overseen by a judicial process. But I don't think that this initiative from Apple is a kind of thin end of a wedge. It's a pretty unique technique, using an existing known database and simply identifying the presence of an already tagged image and then drawing it to the attention of authorities who are then able to investigate.
Child sex abuse images are illegal and are incredibly, incredibly wrong, and participating in either using those images to look at them yourself or creating them is morally objectionable by any sort of standard. But can we differentiate between these images that are kept privately on somebody's phone compared to the images that are being publicly distributed? Is there at all an argument for being able to, that's your right to privacy, to have an image like that on your phone? Or does that right not really exist when it comes to a situation like that?
No, that right does not exist. I mean, privacy has limits. And, you know, you don't have the right to exploit vulnerable children for your own sexual gratification. That's not a right that exists in New Zealand law.
That was Privacy Commissioner John Edwards speaking about some of the privacy issues raised by those concerned that Apple's new scanning technology for child sex abuse images will breach privacy. Throughout this investigation, I've explored the child sex abuse material situation in New Zealand, whether Apple's technology would impact the child exploitation situation in this country if it was rolled out here, and whether it would also breach privacy laws if it was rolled out here as well. It is important to remember that as of yet, Apple's technology is only set to be rolled out in the US, and it is not being rolled out here in New Zealand. The discussions I have had with the experts I've spoken to today are all hypothetical. However, I do think that that last point that the Privacy Commissioner made was a really important one, that no matter what your privacy rights are, there is no right to be committing child exploitation. So a huge thank you to those who contributed to the piece today: Privacy Commissioner John Edwards, Detective Senior Sergeant Alex Carter, and Chief Censor David Shanks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.